Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back. I am here to do an obligatory Trump assassination podcast because everyone's going to do that. So I might as well jump in as well. Actually, I'm just going to lay out what I talked to our church about yesterday and just a few things that I said about what we can know and what we can't know and the mysteries that surround it. And then I'm going to move on and talk a little bit about Ransom's introductory into his mission quest. We had his first ceremony around the concept or idea of worship, a man as a worshiper, and he is stepping in now to his 8-year mission quest of a boy becoming a man, learning lessons along the way, and just want to lay out how that went, and then encourage you to work through some of the rites passage material that I have, and as we think through what it means to raise a boy in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, as opposed to raising a girl in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, I want to try to help guys do that as an appropriate and helpful way as possible. And then for our ladies, for little girls that are being raised, we want to do the exact same thing. We want to raise them into womanhood and in the way God would have us do that. So today we're going to talk about Ransom's mission quest after a few comments on Trump. So let's go ahead and pray, ask for the Lord's help, and then we'll dive into it. So Father, we just need your help always. We need wisdom. Thank you that Trump is not dead, that he is alive. And God, I thank you for your sovereign hand in that. We realize that there was a man that was lost, that died protecting his family. I thank you for that. God, I just ask that you would you just help with everybody that was affected. And I pray that you would bring revival to this country, that people would see how sinful and broken and corrupt we are from the very top, and would see through this and ask questions and scratch their head and turn to you. We just ask that you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So yesterday I talked about the Trump assassination just for a little bit on the front end of my sermon, and pretty much just said there's some things we can know, there's some things we can't know, and there's some things that we can be frustrated with. Now, I didn't mention this yesterday in the sermon because I was moving quickly through just introductory comments before getting to my sermon. And so I didn't mention this. I am going to add a little bit to what I said yesterday. But the first few things that we can know is that we do know that Trump was shot. We know that somebody died. He died in a heroic manner, protecting his wife and daughters from what I hear, which is a wonderful thing. This is valiant. This is honoring. And even though it is certainly sad that he died a hero's death. So that's sad for him. So as we praise God for his providence for protecting Donald Trump, we also recognize that in the mysterious providence of God, there was the man that was shot and died as he was doing the right thing. We also know that there were others that were shot, and from what I understand, in critical condition, we know that the shooter is dead. So the shooter is dead. Now, there's conflicting reports. My first thought when I heard about all this is, man, this is an inside job. That was my first thought. I don't know if that was your first thought, but I think so many people had that first thing come to their mind as well. Like, who did this? The CIA, the FBI, the Secret Service. Then we get information that rolls out, and you recognize that it is either massive just negligence on the Secret Service side or willful negligence. And from the top, they blew the opportunity they had to protect the president, the former President Trump. And, you know, you've seen the reports of people trying to flag down and wave the police officers and notify the Secret Service that there was a man on the roof, climbing the roof with a rifle, about to try to do something. And they didn't do anything about it for several minutes. And the timeline seemed to line up to say that there was plenty of time. From what I heard, that there was a sniper that said that he had this in the crosshairs. He had the guy in the crosshairs for 3 minutes and was told to stand down. Now, we don't know if any of that is true, but it is fishy that of the two buildings that are around that area, they didn't have people and snipers on that roof to protect that roof. That was clearly, I mean, you know, you could walk around and like guys that are good at airsoft or, you know, guys that can go out into a field and are really good at capture the flag can identify the high points and the points that are vulnerable in about 5 minutes. I have no tactical training whatsoever. But if I was going out and saying Trump's going to be here, I'd say, OK, we need somebody on that roof. We need somebody on that roof. And that covers all the roofs. And instead, there was a roof that was wide open that a little 20-year-old dude could climb up and then fire rounds at President Trump and people in the crowd. And so it was just negligence. So it was either willful or just absolute incompetence, one of the two. So there are things that we know. There's things that we don't know. There's mysteries that surround it. But we do know that Trump is alive. That's good. Praise God for that. And we know that God knows everything, the ins and outs of 2 days ago or 3 days ago now, whenever it was. He knows everything. It was the 13th, so 2 days ago. He knows the ins and outs. He knows everything about that day and how the trajectory of the bullet went and the exact time that Trump turned his head. And I don't know if you've seen the picture or not where the bullet's going right behind his head. There was somehow a camera that caught that, and I don't know if that was Photoshopped or not, but it certainly looked real. But those are the things we do know. We don't know all the surrounding peripheral stuff. The other things that I thought were just telling, and I talked to so many people about this, is that how many of the Secret Service agents were women, and how shameful and embarrassing it is that protecting Trump, it's like they gave him the fourth team or the fifth team or whatever, and it was like the DEI team that was the bottom of the barrel junior high team that they were assigned to Trump. And then these women who couldn't even holster their gun. I don't know if you saw that one lady that was the fat, overweight, the chunky lady who couldn't holster her gun. She was like literally trying to put it in, you know, into her hip holster and couldn't get it in there. And it's shameful to see people, ladies, protecting the former president. I would love for him to get reelected and then just say that Secret Service is forever and we're doing away with women on the Secret Service forever, like ever, ever, ever. They should never be in a protecting role like that. And it is just shameful to say you die for that man, no matter what it is. That's not honorable. That's not a good thing for a country to say and to boast. We've got, you know, this many women now on our special forces or Secret Service teams. That is, again, we've talked about this. It's shameful. And it would be wonderful if he's like, this is just never again, no Secret Service women at all. And then watch everybody melt and cry. And it's like, that just amazing. That'd be amazing. Because that's what needs to happen. We need to have the men step up. There's plenty of men that would step up and protect and lay their life down for former President Trump and others. And that's the good and proper way. Like the man that died in the crowd that day. So all those things can be said. What we do know is that God is sovereign over bullets. We're thankful. And my hope and prayer, and this is what I told our church, is that this would be a turning point for Donald Trump to recognize God's hand upon him, but also recognize that that Trump needs to repent, that he needs to have a better view of protection of the preborn. He needs to better understand human sexuality and marriage. He needs to understand what marriage actually is and needs to fight for that. He needs to push back rather than build up the LGBT movement. And that needs to stop. And I just am hopeful and prayerful that this would bring revival. I'm very thankful that he was not killed, because if he was, there would have been massive consequences in our country. And talk about civil unrest, and the right is always more civil than the left. We've seen that demonstrated over the last several years, and even demonstrated in this instance right here. And so, again, a lot of mystery, but what we can know for sure is that God is sovereign over it all, and we're thankful for what God is doing. We're praying that God would do a work in Donald Trump's life and many other people's lives, that they would turn their lives over to Jesus. And we would see, instead of what seems to be in the media, a Catholic revival, we want to actually have a real revival with the real gospel and see God do a work in this land. That's what we want. A return to classic Protestantism in this country is what we need desperately. And so that's what I'm praying for and hoping for. Okay. So moving on from there. So there's the obligatory comments. And I guess it's not really obligatory, but I did want to make a few comments just to let you know what I'd said. This last week, you guys have heard me talk about rites of passage over the years and the necessity of raising boys as boys and girls as girls. If we're going to raise them in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, it requires us to raise boys in a particular way and girls in a particular way. I was listening to a podcast a while back from a Navy SEAL who said that he raises his boys and girls in the exact same way. And that is a violation against God's word. We cannot do that. You cannot raise a boy like a girl. You cannot raise a girl like a boy. There are certainly principles that apply to both, but they usually apply in unique and different ways, because the expression of godliness for a man is going to be different than the expression of godliness for a woman. That means the growth and the building up and the discipling of a boy is going to be unique to a boy, and the growth and the building up and the discipling of a girl is going to be unique to a girl. And so we're custom tailoring these for our sons and daughters. And Ransom is the guinea pig. We started off with Ransom's mission quest. It's going to be from the age of 10 to approximately 18. And we have this progression of these actions that God has called a man to. So God tells Job in Job 38:3, dress for action like a man, dress for action like a man, connecting these ideas of action and manhood. And so a man is called to, according to the Bible, if you do a biblical survey, worship, work, protect, provide, lead, and love. And so these are the masculine virtues, actions that we are calling our boys up into and training them in and discipling them in. And so the first step into this mission quest is that my sons have to be confessed Christ as Lord. And Ransom has confessed Christ as Lord. And it seems that God's sovereignly saved him. And it's a wonderful thing. This happened a few years ago, and now, as he's 10-year-old, he started this mission quest, this 8-year process, approximately 8-year process. So the first rite of passage that he went through was around the idea of worship. A boy is always a worshiper. Everything that he does flows from that. That's where he finds his identity, and his mission is in the idea of being a worshiper and owned by Jesus. He is a son of the Most High God, and he is a slave of his King and Master Jesus. So what I did was I'd been asking him for a few months, who are the men that you respect the most? And then it was it was his grandpa, it was Papu, and then it was his uncle, Ding Ding, and then it was Andy and Brandon, two of the elders of our church. And he had some other guys in there, but those are the consistent names that bubbled to the top. And so what we did, as I ended up inviting, I talked to Jordan, and we got some ice cream together. She made some homemade ice cream for afterwards. But I sent an invitation out about 3 or 4 weeks ago, handwritten invitation, inviting these guys to our house on the 13th of July from 6 to 8 p.m. And I told them to do two things. Here's what I wanted them to be prepared for. Number one, they had 10 minutes to talk. I wanted them to tell their testimony. And then secondly, I wanted them to explain why following Jesus is the most important thing as a man. Being submitted to Christ is the most important thing over a lifetime of walking with the Lord. And so there's a million things that could be said. 10 minutes is such a short window, but these guys are going to have it, like myself. I'm going to have years of small little conversations that are going to cover so much ground. So whatever was going to be missed in this ceremony was going to be covered at some point over the years, as we're just driving in the truck, as we're just working outside, as we're just talking, as we're doing family worship. All these conversations are going to be had. But I wanted to narrow that down to those two things. So these four guys were prepared to explain their testimony about when God got a hold of their heart, they were saved by Christ. And then secondly, why following Jesus is the most important thing as a man. I opened it up by talking through 1 John 2, 12 through 14, and the recognition that the Bible speaks to children, fathers, young men. And there is this process of a difference between a young man and a man, or a child and a father. And God speaks to both. He speaks to the child, he speaks to the father. Let the little children come to me. And then he speaks to the father. He speaks to young men and old men in Titus chapter 2. There's always this recognition that there's a difference in even the age of a man. And so what I wanted to introduce is he's a young man. He's still a boy. He's growing into young manhood and then manhood, but he's still a boy. He's a boy learning to be a man. And he's a 10-year-old. So, I mean, obviously he's a boy, but I laid out 1 Corinthians 13, 11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I have put away childish things. And so I challenged him and told him how proud I was of him. And I challenged him that now, entering into this mission quest, that you're going to have more responsibilities than you did before. And I'm expecting you to be able to control yourself and handle yourself growing up into this maturity over the next several years, more than you have for the first 10 years of your life. I laid out Job 38:3, dress for action like a man. And I ask him, what do men do? And when I say, sparks men, my boys say, worship, work, protect, provide, lead, love. They chant it out. They throw their fists in the air. This is what sparks men do. This is the heritage that God is building in our family. And this is, by God's grace, going to be the legacy of the men in our family. And this is starting in a lot of ways. I'm thankful that my dad did confess Christ as Lord, but the men in the Sparks side of the family are a train wreck going back generations. But that's turning the corner. And now we've got this positive trajectory going forward where, by God's grace, we're going to see multiple generations confessing Christ, walking humbly before God and others. And that starts with me being the best man that I could possibly be, and then Ransom growing up in this too. And he has this legacy on his mama's side too. So Jordan's family, God radically saved her dad and mom when she was a little girl. And it's just an amazing testimony. And also with Jordan's uncle, Darren, God radically saved Darren. And they were one way, and then God got a hold of them, and then they were totally different men. They're just totally different. And just an amazing time. And each of the guys, as they shared and took their 10 minutes, shared out wisdom with Ransom that was just tremendous. And Ransom sat there and just looked at them eye to eye and just listened to everything that they had to say. And it was just a great time. After that, I laid out the books that I'm going to have him read. I laid out 49 books that are going to basically be his canon. These are books that have been impactful for me that I want him to enjoy, and I want to be impactful for him as well. Certainly, he's going to have his interests that he's going to chase, but I am wanting to put in his hands and require him to read. And I'm now in charge of his reading for the next 8 years. I want him to read what's been impactful for me, because I want those to impact him as well. And it's not that we're going to be a carbon copy exact same, but I want, with the Lord's, I want him to be a better man than I am. And I want the things that have shaped me and what God has used to shape me, I want those things to be impactful for him as well. And so that's what I'm doing. So I laid out the books, and here's what I challenged him with, a Spurgeon quote. Here's what he said. Spurgeon said, visit many good books, but live in the Bible. Many books in my library now are behind and beneath me. They were good in their way once, and so are the clothes I wore when I was 10 years old, but I've outgrown them. But nobody ever outgrows the Bible. The book widens and deepens with our years. And this is what I wanted to commission him to. Ransom, you're going to read the Bible over and over and over again the rest of your life. This is the book of the Christian faith. But there's other good books. And how you can think about other good books is that you're sitting down with a mentor, with a friend, with an older man that you can't necessarily talk to, but he's done the hard work of putting thoughts to paper, of taking Bible verses and explaining them, taking concepts and explaining them, and then relaying them or stories and putting them down on the page that are compelling and inspiring and courage building. Putting them down on the page, and it's wise of us to sit at the feet of people who have done that good work and learn from them, and be mentored by them through a book. You can't talk with them, but you can read them, listen to them, receive, and eat the meat, spit out the bones. Learn to do that. But I'm giving them books that have way more meat than bones, obviously. So Ransom's going to be reading these over the years. The books are like mentors. We listen and learn, and we need to sit under the good counsel and good stories of men from the past. That's what we want to do. So I've got a big long list there that's been really good. And it's not a lot of the classics. It's books certainly that are older, many that are older, and theological works of some from the time that he's 10 that are going to be more fun to read, like Jack London. And then as he gets older, he's going to read Calvin's Institute. So it's a range of younger to older books, and I'm very excited about that. Then I laid out for him Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and explained what God did for him through his grace. And these are things we talked about before. And then I gave him a couple gifts that communicate to him quality over quantity. So I got him a lifetime buffalo skin Bible, and I explained to him how in this land, the Sparkses came over in the 1600s, and God brought people over from Britain and throughout the world to come over here and lay out the gospel and move out a people who were worshiping creation over creator, which would be the Indians of America, worshiping creation over a creator. They worship the buffalo. And we came over, and certainly we made some mistakes, but the glorious thing is the land that we live on, the Shawnees used to live on, and they practiced pagan satanic worship. They worshiped even the buffalo. And here we are. I gave him a buffalo skin Bible, and I commissioned him to be the kind of man that takes the square footage that God gives him, whatever he gives, whatever domain he has, whatever responsibility he has, and to steward that for the glory of God. Don't worship creation, worship creator. And here is a Bible, a buffalo skin Bible, and he has the opportunity to take that, not worship the buffalo, but worship Jesus, and then use that for the glory of God. And so I'm very excited about that. He has got a Bible that's a lifetime warranty now. It's an ESV study Bible. It's really nice. And then after that, guys, I'm sorry. It sounds like monsters are literally running upstairs. People are just running back and forth and back and forth. That's because right above me is my office is right under our bedroom and bathroom. And there's kids that are running back and forth. So that's why it sounds like that. The second thing I gave him was a 25-year warranty Orvis fly rod. He's been getting into fly fishing, and I wanted to give him something that's going to be helpful during the provision stage. Here in the next few years, he's going to have to go through a provision rite of passage where he's going to have to hunt and fish for all his food. So I gave him a fly rod that's going to be really helpful for that and really fun as we go down to the river in Missouri a couple times a year and fly fish. So I gave him an Orvis rod. And he loved it. He loved both of those. That's a 25-year warranty. So I had a conversation with him about quality over quantity and having the wisdom to know what you need to buy quality and what are some of the things that you can actually go and you can actually buy, you know, a quantity of it where it doesn't, you have to use wisdom on what you buy and why you buy it and what you're going to use it for. So there are going to be times that you just go to Harbor Freight and get the cheap tool instead of getting the Snap-on tool, okay? But then there's other things that you need to get where you're going to get something that's going to last for a lifetime. And had that conversation. It lasted about an hour, and then we wrapped up. We prayed over him and then went in and celebrated with ice cream, and it's going to be something that he remembers forever. And with the Lord's help, it wasn't cheesy. Every guy there was really encouraged by it, and I think it was an awesome thing. So I wanted to update you on that. We're going to be talking over at Sons and Slaves podcast about that as well. And if you have any more information or, excuse me, any more questions about that, reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you about it. Okay, guys, hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.